welcome back to this special edition of the Game Sports Show. This is the Hot Seat. I am your host, EJ Russell, and we are live. Here's from Moe's Pub in Escanaba. Moe's Pub, 15 craft beers on tap, 25 TVs, best place to catch the game in Escanaba, best pub in Escanaba. You can check the Hot Seat, you can check out the Hot Seat special editions of the game at thegamesportsshow.com. Check us out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Podtail, all of your streaming platforms. Most popularly at thegamesportsshow.podbean.com. Again, this is this week's edition of the Hot Seat, live from Moe's Pub in Escanaba, October 29th. It is Thursday. We are here, and I am joined, as always, by Escanaba Excellence, the notorious N-O-R-S-E, my co-host, contributor, and all-around good guy, Tyler Ouellette. Tyler, welcome to the show.
How's it going, EJ? Good to be back for another episode of the Hot Seat. Good episode in store tonight, I think so.
I think we got a good one dialed up, but before we get into the show tonight, I want to take 2 seconds and give you a little bit of time here. Unfortunately, your family experienced quite the tragedy this week. Your grandmother passing away, your mom and dad are friends, you, your brothers are friends, your Uncle Jack and I have worked together. Uncle Tom's a great friend as well, and all of your dad and Uncle Jack's other brothers. Just a bunch of great people, and I want to sincerely express my condolences to you and give you a couple minutes to speak on your grandmother here. I'm sure she will be well missed. I know that I love all you guys, and so this hurts me, probably not as much as you, but I'm sorry to hear your loss.
EJ, yeah, thanks. I appreciate that. That means a lot coming from you. And yeah, it sucks. I mean, life goes on, but she lived a really good life, 93 years old. Raising 6 boys, which is very impressive.
six wild boys.
I was going to say crazy boys. My dad being the youngest of the 6. So, yeah, definitely a very sad time. That happened 2 days ago on Tuesday. Yeah, Tuesday night. So, yeah, the funeral is next week. But, yeah, thank you for letting me talk about that. And thank you for that. So, yeah.
Well, and you may or may not be here for next week's episode. Maybe we don't even put on the show next week. I know I plan on attending the funeral. Again, condolences to you, both your brothers, your father, mother, all of your uncles, especially Uncle Jack, who's a dear friend of mine. I call him Pops because a lot of people think he's my dad because we kind of look alike anyways. But
that's kind
of
funny, actually.
At the dealership to him and I used to work at together. We still work for the same company, but I've been moved to a different dealership since. But we used to get people together, and I would always tell people that your Uncle Jack was my dad. And one time this old lady comes into the dealership, and she's like, oh, my God, that's so nice that you and your dad get to work together. Well, it's funny because for those of you who are new to the show, I've only known Tyler and his family probably a good three and a half years. But I'd like to say that I've gotten very close to your family, and I appreciate the friendship that you provided. So, again, condolences to you and your family before we really get into the show this week.
Thank you, EJ.
Again, this is the October 29th edition of the Hot Seat, live from Moe's Pub in Escanaba. 24 TVs, 15 local craft beers on tap. Best place to catch a game in Escanaba, best pub in Escanaba. Check out the game and all of its glory at thegamesportsshow.com. Going to be moving to some new websites and platforms with the Game Entertainment Media, who we are powered by. But you're always free to check us out at thegamesportsshow.podbean.com. Check out Butch on Sports, The Drive, the Monday Night Edition of the Game, all of the different podcasts. We're all over the place, okay? But check us out at thegamesportsshow.podbean.com. Again, live from Moe's Pub here on a Thursday in Escanaba. We're always going to get in our gripes and groans because somebody got to be on the hot seat this week. Tyler, who's on the hot seat? We've agreed with all three of these this week, so I'll give you the majority of the time here because you actually watched this game, and I didn't get a chance to do anything other than watch the film. Who's on the first hot seat this week?
Oh, my, EJ. Kevin Cash.
Wait. We almost screwed up.
Our shot.
We got to do our shot. Got to do our shot. Cheers. Mmm. Burns so good, even though it's not that good. All right, first hot seat, Kevin Cash.
Oh, my God, EJ. So I'll give you a little.
He's right.
Yeah, horrible decision. All right, so if you guys didn't watch Game 6 of the World Series, the Dodgers did end up winning the World Series finally. Blake Snell, Tampa Bay's pitcher, was cruising. He's pitching in the 6th, 73 pitches with 9 Ks. There's one out in the 6th at the time. He gives up a single. to the nine hitter. All right. Kevin Cash pulls him immediately. He pulls his ace, his Cy Young winner, who is dealing. I mean dealing. And I've looked this up on the after, like, why he said why he did it. And it was because of the top of the lineup was coming up. What?
Did what he say? He didn't want to see Mookie and those guys see him a third time?
Yes, but the top three, Mookie, Seager, and Justin Turner, were 0 for 6 with 6 Ks. In this game, the 6 out of his 9 Ks were the top 3 hitters. And that's one of the better.
How did Mookie finish after he got pulled?
Double and home run.
There it is.
A couple of runs scored. 2 out of the 3 runs scored. So, I mean, it's just, it was, you almost knew, EJ, as soon as this happened, they were going to lose. Like, it was that easy to tell. And, of course, Mookie hits a double, second to third. Then a wild pitch scores Austin Barnes. Mookie goes up to third, and then Mookie scores on an infield single. Just like that, 2-1. All the momentum's gone. It was an embarrassing move, and I was really rooting for Tampa. I wanted a game 7. We needed a game 7. It would have been Walker Buehler against Charlie Morton. 2 great pitchers. Horrible decision. And Cash is not a bad manager, but if you went to analytics, you just have to have a feel as a manager. Like, a lot of the times, it's – like, analytics do work. They do. Like, your computer works. But, like, not in the World Series in an elimination game. Just didn't make sense to me at all, EJ.
Well, and 73 pitches. Guys, Wheeling and Dealing gives up a second hit. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Don't pull him there. And to say to prevent Mookie from getting that third go-around, well, obviously his first go-around with the other guy didn't go so well. So, I didn't like the move. I agree with almost everything that you say. You did pick this series to end in 6 games for the Dodgers. So you got that part right. And I just want to point out this stat line real quick. Okay. Congratulations to LA Dodgers. It only took you the highest payroll 8 years in a row, 3 attempts at World Series, a very shortened season, and a team with the 4th lowest payroll. And it still took you 6 games to get a World Series title, but you got it done. Congratulations. Hope you're proud of yourselves. Tampa, you're right on the verge of doing something great. So, Kevin Cash, I agree wholeheartedly on the hot seat this week. So, we'll roll out. You got anything else to add on this?
I was just going to mention one thing about the Dodgers finally winning. We were talking about this yesterday. It's hard to hate any of the players on the Dodgers, really. I mean,
that's true.
You know, like, it's like an LA team. It's like, it's not like the Lakers where, like, people can just hate LeBron and the Lakers. Like, I love Kershaw. Like, Corey Seager, who did win World Series MVP, by the way. I don't mind him. Mookie, like, he got traded there. Like, it's not like he did sign it.
Yeah, but did he really get traded there or, like, kind of invite that?
Yeah, thing, you know? Yeah, but, like, I mean, still, I mean, he did sign a 12-year deal, but it's, like, I never had anything to do with Mookie. It's just, like, I don't know, like, especially Kershaw, I feel really good for him. Best friends, Matthew Stafford growing up. If you didn't know EJ, every TV broadcast ever.
Highland Park.
Yep.
Hey, while we're hitting on baseball real quick, just breaking news. What do you think of Tony La Russa getting signed to the White Sox as a manager? I love it. I think he's great with the Cardinals. I like this hire. What say you?
Briefly. You know, I don't know much. I mean, I do know a lot about him, but, like, that hire is a huge hire because the White Sox are at their peak, or not their peak, but they're getting into their peak with their young prospects. Like, this is a win-now time for them. Like, this year they showed that making the playoffs, so – this hire is huge, and it better work out, because if it does, he's old. He's 76.
If it doesn't work out, he's going to be on the hot seat.
So, like, right away. Right away, because it needs to, because this is the White Sox time. But moving to the next hot seat, EJ, this is all you.
So next hot seat's got to be the New England Patriots and Cam Newton. I mean, a team led by Bill Belichick. I can't remember, and this is one of the few occasions – where I don't have a stat line ready to pull out of my rear end on this one. But this is one of the rare occasions.
2-4.
When was the last time the Patriots were 2-4? When was the last time they had a losing record? I don't remember this. This is uncharted
territory.
Besides
maybe like an 0-1. Like, you know,
that doesn't count.
That doesn't even count.
Like, yeah, until you get to game 3, it doesn't matter if you have a losing record. Like, game 3, okay, now it matters. You know, you can have a 1-1, a 2-0, an 0-2. And then pull out that third one. Or you could be like the Browns a couple years ago and go 1-1-1 in your first 3 games, which is about the most disappointing thing ever. Didn't the Bengals do that this year, too?
They did.
0-2-1?
Yeah.
I've been – anybody that listens to our Monday Night Edition of the show, anybody that's listened to In the Pocket, or any time I've talked about football, I do not believe that running the ball through Cam Newton is going to be the answer for that New England offense. I think they need more of a passing quarterback. Tom Brady, who I do not like because of the fact I think he's a cheater and he went to the University of Michigan. He's got six Super Bowl rings, but you can't take away from him. Okay, I understand that.
He's having a damn good year this year too. He's playing.
When Very he plays well. Well, Gronk gets the ball more often, okay? And he's not giving the ball to Gronk. He's got way too much talent. He should be putting up a lot. He's had more talent on the outside with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who have been banged up a little bit on the outside. But he's had more talent on that team than he's ever had with New England, minus that one year he had Randy Moss. It's just the New England Patriots, led by Bill Belichick, are not doing – they rolled the dice, okay? They bet on Cam Newton. And then when Cam Newton can pass, he's super effective. I honestly think that Bill Belichick's just trying to grind the last bit of what Cam's got out of him, trying to win one more title in a year where he was either swinging for a first or early first round pick, or he was going to go for broke with somebody, which I think he tried to do with Cam Newton. I just don't know that Cam's the guy there. New England Patriots, you're 2-4. You got to figure it out. You're the New England Patriots. There's no reason for you to be bad.
And it's crazy, EJ, because you just mentioned Cam's passing abilities at the beginning of the year. Like that Seahawks game, he looked really good. Like I was on their bandwagon. I said it in one of our.
Then they went to the run.
Exactly. One of our first episodes. I'm like, I believed in Cam with the Patriots. I'm like, Cam's playing good, and it's Belichick. So and then three straight losses, 33-6 at home to San Francisco. A banged up San Francisco team. I mean, not as they have Jimmy G back and some of their main.
This is the same San Francisco team that lost to a Ryan Fitzpatrick led Miami Dolphins.
Exactly, and they were pretty healthy that game.
They're 3-3 though.
Yeah, but it's just the Patriots. I don't know what's going on, and Gilmore is on the trade block. It sounds like there's rumors him going to the Lions, which I love.
I like that because they just traded, and we'll get into this in a little bit. They just made a great trade for the defensive line down there, and I'm going to save this for later.
We'll get into that. I'm excited.
Stephon Gilmore is hands down the best player on that team. If they move him, the New England Patriots are going full fire sale because he is hands down, I think statistically not hands down, but hands down, in my opinion, the best quarterback in this league. Although Denzel Ward does have – Mike Cleveland Browns has the most passes defended this year. Just throwing it out there. But if Stephon Gilmore moves, that's a fire sale in New England. Look for Bill Belichick to either make one last swing at this and get a good draft pick, or he might retire. And I think it is time for him to retire. You guys got six Super Bowls. What has he got left to prove?
I would have nothing against him if he retired after this year. I hope he doesn't. He's good for football. They're third.
Do you think that if Belichick retires, now that Tom Brady's gone and Belichick would be gone, if Belichick retires, does ownership move on from the Kraft family, or do they continue to own the team? Because Robert Kraft has been very vocal. He loved Tom Brady. He loves Bill Belichick. His players are his. He's very much in the locker room. He loves everybody on the team. But when you lose your two biggest pieces like that, is it time to move on, or does he keep it in the family? I think they keep it, but I would fully understand moving on.
I think Dave Portnoy is gonna buy the place.
Dave Portnoy don't have that much money yet.
Not yet. But it's a joke.
Davey Day Trader's got to do a little more on the stock market before he buys the Pats.
Win some more bets. But I think they will stay with the Kraft family. Robert Kraft is probably done, though, pretty soon, especially when Belichick's gone. They could move in a different direction after Belichick. Belichick's kind of that last remaining piece of that great run. And if we're going to talk dynasties, I think the Chiefs have a dynasty. They're going to become the Patriots, in my opinion, for the AFC. Coming up with Mahomes, how do you not become?
Well, here's so if you're the New England Patriots, who's the next head coach? Is it Josh McDaniels? He's been there for a long time as OC. He's done a great job for that team. He was a favorite for the Browns job a few years ago. He's been a favorite for a Denver job. He's been up there for a few different jobs. Does Josh McDaniels finally get a chance to take the reins?
I could see them. Hiring within would probably be the Patriot move, honestly, if we're being honest.
It'd be the Patriot way.
It definitely would.
Do your job.
Exactly. It's either that or hire. It's not going to be a new coach. It's not going to be like a brand new coach, especially like at a college or first within like 5 years of his career. It's not going to be something like that. It's going to be either a really veteran coach that maybe he's out of the league a couple of years, or it's going to be with him. So that's my take on that. But,
I think they should hire Romeo Crennel.
That's a good one. That is a good one.
All right, so third hot seat this week, and I'm going to intro this one because I called it. Pennsylvania State University Nittany Lions lost to the Indiana University Hoosiers in overtime by 1 point. Tyler, did I not say last week that this was a trap game for them? They were looking ahead to Ohio State, and they got beat. Now they're coming out this week looking for revenge, but I think if you're Penn State, you're on the hot seat. You can't lose that game to Indiana.
Yeah, I agree. You did call that. I brought up how they always play close games against good opponents. Especially
yeah, you like Indiana in these kind of games.
Exactly, yeah. And I was watching the highlights. I didn't get to see much of this game at all, actually, but I watched all the highlights, and it was a pretty wild game. I mean, Penn State had three turnovers in the first half, which is – they have a solid quarterback in Clifford, too. So that was just wild. And Indiana – they're up 17-7 at the half because of those turnovers. So it was an interesting game. It was kind of a situation with – we'll get into the Lions and Gurley, which was awesome. But, a Penn State runner scored.
I didn't know Todd Gurley went back to college.
Yeah, Penn State of all places.
You're right. Didn't he go to Wisconsin?
Yeah.
I'm sure he'd love to play for the New Lions.
Jeez. But Penn State scored with a minute 42. This is a little different scenario to go up eight. Scored in a run where the runner didn't know what to do. He, like, ran into the end zone and was confused. He's like, do I want to run more timeout? But Indiana went down and scored a two-point conversion to send it to OT. Penn State took the lead in overtime, and then Indiana scored with the two-point conversion at the end, which was an extremely close play, like jumping to the pylon. So, like you said, I think they were looking forward to Ohio State. Huge game coming up. They went down to the rankings 8-18. Indiana's ranked now, I believe, which they should be. That's a huge win. But Penn State definitely.
I don't know about that. I don't know if they should be ranked. But you beat a top 10 team in the country, you get a courtesy ranking. I don't know that they'll hold the ranking, but you have at least earned it for this week.
I hope they hold it for at least a week, like this week, because then they play Michigan. It makes Michigan's, when they beat them, look better. So that's just what I got. But, yeah, third on the hot seat, Penn State.
So let's get into – we're going to roll out of the gripes and groans for this week. And last week we led with a giant segment on Big Ten. We're not going to cover as much in depth. We're going to try to stay to more local teams, fans of the show. Fans of teams that listen to this show. And first off, let's just get real quick into Ohio State beating Nebraska. Okay. And the reason I want to get in that one first, I know most of our listeners are Michigan fans, but Ohio State's now got to play a Penn State that just came off a tough loss to the University of Indiana. And Indiana is now ranked 17th this year, okay? So you just lost the 17th, and I'm putting that in air quotes because, again, I don't believe that they're going to be ranked come the end of the year. But you got number 3 Ohio State University going into number 18 Penn State, one ranking behind the team that beat them last week in the University of Indiana Hoosiers. Big Ten football, this is a tougher game for Ohio State than people realize, because they just lost to Indiana. Indiana's a team that's come out and given Ohio State some tough games. And I know you and I talked about my secret affection for the Indiana Hoosiers because of personal relationships. But I just don't see how Justin Fields-led Ohio State team, and I'll get into this, last weekend we went on our color tour. Okay, we were sitting there and watching the end of that game against Nebraska, and you're like, you're sweating it out because you had a bet on the line. And what did I tell you, Tyler? What did I say about Ohio State with 3.5 minutes left? They were going to do what?
Oh, they're going to try to score. They're going to try to score, and they did.
Did I say they were going to get 3, or did I say they were going to get 7?
7. 3 would have worked.
And they did. It was awesome. And they did get 7. And the thing that I love about Ohio State is that they're out for blood this year, and they're willing to take anybody on. Penn State, which is led by one of my favorite coaches in college football, and James Franklin, has a good team. I think Ohio State takes this game. However, okay, last time we went into Happy Valley with this much confidence, Penn State came out and tagged my number 2 Ohio State Buckeyes at the time. Was that a couple years ago? And this is a good opportunity for Penn State to get back. But Ohio State, if you're going to make a run at the college football playoff, make a run at a national championship, which this year I think you have a great opportunity to do, you can't lose this game. But I don't think that Ryan Day, Justin Fields, and the rest of the Ohio State Buckeyes, including my favorite name of a running back of all time, Master Teague III, I just don't see how the Buckeyes lose this game to Penn State. Penn State, look for them to be competitive. Look for them to play tough. Look for the Buckeyes to win. I feel like this is going to be a 7-14, 7-17 kind of point game. We're either going to win by a touchdown or we'll win by like 2.5, 3 touchdowns. It'll be a lot closer than you think. But I think Justin Fields is out to prove something. I think Ryan Day has got this team in an incredible place right now. And I'll say a very compliant place as well. I think he's running a great program. You haven't heard much from Ryan Day as much.
It's controversy. About
time. Well, come on, man. I know Urban Meyer came with his controversies, but he coached a good football team. And Ryan Day has taken over that coaching aspect, has that same attitude as Urban Meyer, but without the controversy. So I think that the Justin Fields, number one, I think is going to win the Heisman this year. I think that Justin Fields and the Buckeyes find a way to beat Penn State in Happy Valley this weekend. Ryan Day over James Franklin.
Yeah, I think Ohio State's going to win that game. I do think it's going to be more high scoring than you think. I think Ohio State's still going to put up a lot of points. I think it's going to be within the spread, which is plus 12. But yeah, Ohio State a huge, huge win against Nebraska. They kind of started.
Do you think it's going to be within 12?
Yes. Yes.
I don't know if I placed that bet, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was in there.
Yeah, well, the last four games, Ohio State, Penn State, they've been combined 10 points. Ohio State's won them, but
they're all tough.
Yeah.
I say Ohio State wins by 17. That's my bet.
All right, it's a good bet at Happy Valley. But yeah, Ohio State started off a little slow against Nebraska. They gave up a touchdown first drive. Nebraska did Ohio State was only up 4 at half or like a touchdown at half. So like I had a feeling they were going to break through in the second half, which they did, but it was Nebraska gave up a little bit of fight. So good for them. Yeah, but going to the next topic of the Big Ten, we got
Michigan over Minnesota.
Oh.
A game where I reluctantly picked the University of Michigan. They ended up pounding P.J. Fleck, the Golden Gophers, with their own oars. Okay, they showed Minnesota how to row the boat this week. Tyler, what was the biggest piece for Michigan here?
EJ, this was fantastic to watch as a Michigan fan. The offense looked so incredible this week. 49 points. One touchdown was on the defensive side, which was a great play by Barrett, the quarterback. But 49-24, that is a lot of points at Minnesota. And Joel Mellon, his stat line wasn't throwing the ball 15 for 22, 225, and a touchdown, which was not bad. You know, it was good enough. And he ran the ball well, though, too. That was a big thing. And he's looking really comfortable out there. I don't know. 8 yards, 52 – or 8 carries, 52 yards, and a touchdown on the ground. So he's that threat from both ways. And Michigan looked – that was one of the better games coached by Harbaugh that I've seen in a long time. To go on the road – and to go on the road against a ranked opponent and come out that with the easy of a W has not happened in his era, like Harbaugh's era. And – I was kind of shocked. Like the first drive, Minnesota went 7-0, and Michigan responded just like that. 75-yard touchdown, Zach Charbonnet, or 70-yard. It was some crazy run on like first down. I don't know, but Michigan looked good. EJ giving me a lot.
Do you have the box score pulled up?
I do.
Okay, ready? I'm gonna read through this box score, which is I think is super impressive. First quarter, 21 points Michigan, 10 from Minnesota. That's a lot of points the first quarter, by the way.
I was saying the over is looking good.
Yeah, right. Second quarter, 14-7 Michigan in just the second quarter. Third quarter, break even at 7-7. And then in the fourth quarter, Michigan goes up 7-0 in just each quarter. This is the first time I've seen Michigan play in a long time where I can remember that they either tied or won every single quarter in a game. However, the most impressive statistic to me is Michigan's defense. Okay. They had 5 sacks against the Golden Gophers. How many did Minnesota have?
One. I think it was one, yeah.
One sack. Michigan's defense was definitely a significant player in that game. But let's give Milton a little credit here, okay? I think your quarterback play certainly helped you. He's much better than what you've had in the past. I'm not saying he's great. Okay, he went 15 to 22 with 225 yards of touchdown, but he didn't throw an interception. 93 QBR.
Didn't. On eight carries, which is huge.
And for 52 yards and another touchdown. Okay. He's adding a second level to that game, which let's look at what I think was the, and I might sound like an idiot here. I think the best quarterback Ohio State ever had was Braxton Miller. Okay. Outside Troy Smith, who won the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah.
Because Braxton Miller could do things in the running game that Troy Smith couldn't do, right? Look at the first game where Braxton Miller played on the wide. There's a second game they were playing. He's playing wide out. It was against Virginia Tech, and you remember the spin move where he juked a dude out of his shoes, and it was a makeup game where they had to come back and get Virginia Tech for getting him the year before. But Braxton Miller was a far more skilled scrambler. Milton kind of gave me a little bit of that look, and I think that if he can continue to play the way that he did against Minnesota, I'm going to be really nervous come the last week of the year.
Yeah, and as a Michigan fan, and we all know this false hope that we get. But Milton, he didn't even really show his arm strength either. They didn't really have a crazy deep throw. Like, and he can chuck it, and that's been known and shown. Like, that was his recruiting thing.
Well, they didn't need to, though. You go up 21-10 in the first quarter, and then you throw 14 points into their seven up in the second quarter. Hey, you're running away with it. There's no need to show the arm there,
which is great to see. Like, I'm kind of like, he didn't need to. Yeah, and like, he and everyone knows he can throw, and that's what's exciting me the most.
Is that coaching? Is that khaki pants wearing cleat wearing Jim Harbaugh?
He actually didn't even
wear the old school. What, the khakis?
He wore blue pants. He might change it up for the year. He wore.
It's oh my dear Lord, he might be a sane individual. So what? Well, hold on. Did he get the blue pants from Kohl's?
They were Jordan, so probably not.
But they were selling them at Kohl's.
But no, Joe Milton's super exciting, and I also love Michigan's running attack. I mean, Haskins, who's I think is a senior now, Charbonnet is a sophomore, and Blake Corum is a top 50 player, freshman recruit, and he has speed too. So like, they have three, and Chris Evans is back. I don't know, you remember him? He had a breakout year a couple of years ago, suspended last year for academic issues. He's been coming back. He's been working hard to come back, and he's finally back. He had a touchdown. So they have a lot of running attack too. And Jalen Mayfield, their best old lineman, who I played in high school. Terrifying. At Grand Rapids Catholic Central. He's projected first round pick now, which is kind of crazy. They killed us in playoffs, but he's back. He opted back in. So Michigan's offense looks good, and their defense with Don Brown always looks solid, and I'm glad it's looking solid again. So Michigan, very, very impressive.
Well, I just want to end up on this statistic. And again, I know you got the old school Harbaugh Block M hat on right now. Okay. I'll give you your credit. You're allowed to wear the hat today.
Thank you.
The only week this year we won't be friends will be the last Saturday, November, or December, whatever game it is. Usually it's last Saturday, November, whatever. Yeah, it's December this year. Who cares? I think the biggest piece for that game was the fact that Michigan rushed for 256 yards, doubling Minnesota's rushing output, as well as putting up 225 yards in receiving over Minnesota's 197. Michigan just looked like a better team in that game. So we're about 30 minutes into this week's episode of The Hot Seat. Again, The Hot Seat is powered by The Game Entertainment Media. Check us out at thegamesportshow.com. You can hear us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Podtail, all the social media platforms. Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, The Game Sports Show. Again, listen to this show live, the best streaming experience at thegamesportshow.podbean.com. Again, this is The Hot Seat live from Moe's Pub in Escanaba. 24 TVs, 15 craft beers on tap. Best place to catch a game in Escanaba. Best pub in Escanaba. We're going to continue with our Big Ten talk here. Briefly, let's hit real quick. Wisconsin over Illinois. They did find a way to pull out the win. Big COVID situation going on there. Tyler, I'll let you take the reins.
Okay, yeah, just quickly on that game Friday night.
Before you get into this, I did want to add this. They won that game with their quarterback out with COVID. Or did he test positive after? I thought he was positive during the game. Did he test positive right after? Okay, they're fine. But the whole team's still dealing with COVID, so it doesn't matter. This is still a topic of conversation.
The thing is, Mertz wasn't supposed – he was out with their starter was out, but Mertz, he was a true freshman who started. He went crazy. 20 for 21, 248 yards and 5 touchdowns. That's a crazy stat line. And they dominated Wisconsin, but yeah, you were talking about the COVID.
Who dominated issue. Illinois or Wisconsin? Wisconsin. You mean Wisconsin dominated Illinois?
Wisconsin dominated Illinois. I did say that right.
Is this your first time doing radio?
No.
You okay?
I'm fine.
But if you had, you know what, if there was a block on that hat, you might know a little more.
Funny.
I'm just kidding, buddy.
But, yeah, so unreal, the COVID situation going on, huh? The game this weekend got canceled against Nebraska. They had like over 20 cases. I think it was. They just got announced like 7 more happened.
I think I just saw 16 total positive cases as of right now.
And the Big Ten kind of screwed up because, you know, like they didn't give them a lot of wiggle room. Like they 9 weeks of straight games and like people are going to get COVID cases, like outbreaks. So it's tough. You know, I don't know how Wisconsin's.
It's college.
Exactly. Like, even if they were doing everything right, the chance of COVID happening is still really, especially Wisconsin right now. It's bad in Wisconsin.
It's getting bad up here.
Yeah, it is. So, yeah, that's definitely tough to see. But, yeah, so that game gets canceled. Let's go one more Big Ten. I just want to touch on this. MSU gets killed by Rutgers. Like, that game was ugly.
This is embarrassing. And I'm going to steal your thunder here. You gave me the stat line. They had 7 turnovers in that game. Tyler, you're closer to Michigan State probably than I am. I mean, I had two cousins that are fan, one and his wife are Michigan State alumni. And usually they're ready to chirp me every chance they get. But when I went to call them after that game, neither of them answered the phone. So Michigan State, you can't be as bad as you were against Rutgers. Although, let's give Rutgers a little bit of credit, and you did point this out. This is a Greg Schiano-led team. He's been their coach before. He has NFL experience. Schiano's back. He's got Rutgers looking good. I don't know that they're going to make a whole bunch of noise this year, but look for them to be better than they were. But Michigan State, get ready to sell it all.
Yeah, and as a Michigan fan, this isn't the worst thing to see. But, yeah, this is Rutgers' first Big Ten win since 2017. We are in 2020 right now, so that's a lot of losses. And this was at Michigan State, obviously, with no fans. It's not a huge difference, but it's still traveling, you know. But, yeah, State just looked bad in Mel Tucker's first game. And now they have to go to Michigan. And I think Michigan's like a 24 favorite. So
I'll take State. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not that stupid.
That's a lot of points, though. But
all right. So what Michigan State doesn't deserve much more attention other than just like we got to mention them. But like it's bad. All right. We're going to get into baseball's done. NBA, there's not much to talk about. Some fun hires in the NBA, but we're going to leave that alone. We're going to get in the NFL. Tyler, raise your glass for a second. We got a dual victory Monday slash Tuesday, brother. What is this, our second time this year?
Second time ever? That's a lot.
We got Browns and a Lions. And we both win in an incredible fashion. So, Tyler, congratulations. It's a happy dual victory Thursday, week of NFL play. But, Tyler, I want you to take a second to discuss the Lions game. And I'd like you to also bring up the fact that the Lions upped themselves better on the defensive line. What did they do this week?
Okay, yeah, EJ, victory. Yeah, second time this year, which is a lot for a year for the Great Lakes.
Hoo-ah!
The Lions and the Browns. But that game was insane. I was at Moa's watching the Browns and Lions, and they won like at the same time. It was crazy. I was watching both TVs. And
can I give you a little bit of credit here for a second? I got invited to go play kickball this last weekend.
Yeah, he wasn't with
me. So I got my big updates from you. I did watch my own team's game film. I did try to watch the fourth quarter of the Lions game. But thanks for letting me know that the Browns won because I was out kicking around a big red ball in my old school up north Durham, red, white, and blue. I wore full softball uniform. I had red metal cleats on, the Boomba softball pants, the red belt, red, white, and blue jersey with the hoodie, the matching cap, and even the red, white, and blue batting gloves. Okay, I went ham on this one. But thank you for covering my rear end this weekend. But go ahead and get in the Lions. We're done talking about my kickball.
Yeah.
By the way, I turned to double plays.
enough of kickball. But yeah, the Lions, so amazing ending. Stafford, extremely clutch like he is. And a lot of this happened, you know, because of the Todd Gurley touchdown with about, what was it, a minute? It was like a minute four, I think. A minute and 4 seconds, Todd Gurley actually.
It was dumb.
Accidentally scores, and as soon as that happened, I freaked out. I'm like, all right, you're giving Stafford a chance. A minute four to go. Then a bunch of stuff happened. Golladay got like a 30-yard catch down to like the 10, and then there was a review. There was a flag that didn't even get talked about by the refs. Just craziness, and I thought the Lions were somehow going to get screwed out of this. They finally get a play. Stafford to Hockenson, touchdown. Boom. So then – Prater just to kick Decker's point, extra point, right? Of course, there's a celebration flag on the Lions. So let's move them back 15 yards for Prater, which is extra point of like 45 to 50 yards now because it's been
moved
up. Who
holds the NFL record for longest kick, though?
Matt Prater holds, yeah.
Thank you.
Like 67 yards or something. Whatever. Prater's the GOAT. He's the best player in the Lions. The Lions always have good kickers. They always do. Jason Hansen, Matt Prater, whatever. But yeah, so he kicks this extra point, and then there's a flag after that. There's a flag, and it was a legal formation on the Falcons, so thank God for that. But what a win, and the Falcons now have the curse of the Lions. I'm saying this right now, the Lions, or the Falcons, the Falcons have lost this year more crazy games than the Lions usually, are doing this, and the Falcons are screwing up. I bet on them tonight. I bet on the Falcons because they're going to win tonight, but like, they are screwing up in ways the Lions always do, and that was the most Lion ending ever, but it was reversed. It was awesome. Thank God, man. And hey, the Lions, easy schedule coming up. Getting excited. Everson Griffin trade.
That's a nice trade.
A conditional 6-round pick for like 1.5 mil salary hit. Like, come on. And their schedule coming up, it's getting...
One, he seems like a great personality for the locker room. Look, like one of my favorite things is that game, the Minnesota Miracle. One of my favorite moments of that game is if you look at the NFL Films version of Everson's Griffiths just got his hands on his head, mouth wide open, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Like, I will not scream the amount of emphasis that he had, but just he was like a child in that moment. I think he'll be a great personality for the Lions locker room. I think he brings great leadership and talent.
Oh, yeah. Like, on social media, he was, like, extremely – like, he was showing, like, videos of him flying to Detroit just happy. You know, I'm like, I love this.
Well, he's probably just ready to get out of Minnesota.
Yeah. What, you say out of Minnesota? You got traded from Dallas.
I'm sorry. Yes. He went to Dallas and then back up.
Yeah, for like...
Oh, shoot me. We were talking about the Minnesota Miracle 2 minutes ago. Anyways, enough of your Lions talk. You guys won on the last second win. So did my Cleveland Browns. And I went back and I rewatched that game film. And the only thing to me that stands out on tape is the following stat lines. Baker Mayfield, 5 touchdowns, 1 interception, 22 of 28 for 297 yards. If he... And I'm not talking about the 5 touchdowns. Take the 5 touchdowns, put whatever number you want there. I don't care if it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, or 0. Okay.
It's the one pick.
1 interception, 22 of 28 for 297 yards. If he can continue to do that with the amount of talent that we have in the rushing game, we will continue to win games. I'm super impressed at the fact that this was probably the first Browns game I watched. Where after the first quarter, I was like, ah, dang, same old Browns. Here we go again. You should be beating these Bengals, and you're going to blow it. And they found a way to win with a wide receiver from the University of Michigan.
Don't Michigan go blue.
Well, he bleeds orange and brown now, brother. But
that's all right. I don't even mind that.
I thought Donovan – I like where we got Donovan Peoples-Jones. I think coming out of high school, did he go to Cass Tech? What was the school?
Cass Tech, Detroit, yep.
He went to Cass Tech, and then he played at the University of Michigan. I thought he was the most underwhelming piece in college because he was so much more talented than the way that he played for the University of Michigan. His last year, I said that he was going to be one of the main pieces that made them good or not. And of course, they didn't have a great year last year. But physically, he's an incredibly talented individual. And I will say that in that catch, which was a very tough throw by Baker. Okay, let's give Baker a little bit of credit for having the guts to make that throw. And let's give Donovan Peoples-Jones a lot of credit for finding a way to get that second foot down, because he's a rookie. Okay, in college, you only got to get 1 foot down. He had the one down, and then he just brought that second one down right in time. It looked real awkward in real time. It didn't look like a touchdown, but when you watch replay, it clearly is. Give the rookie Donovan Peoples-Jones a lot of credit for making that catch late in the game. But give Baker a lot of credit for minimizing his turnovers, being successful. What is 22 to 28? That's slightly over 75% completion percentage. throwing the one interception, which we brought this up before. Was that on the first round?
I was going to bring that up. He threw one on the first drive. It was started 0 for 5 and didn't miss a pass after that. Or like maybe missed one pass.
This and I think this might be a turning point for him because of that. Because almost every other time he throws an interception on the first drive, we lose.
They lose.
And I want to. This is one of the rare outliers as far as the statistics go. But Baker Mayfield is the reason that we won that football game. Okay, Myles Garrett, AFC Defensive Player of the Month, most sacks this month out of any player. He's got 6 sacks in the month of October. Myles Garrett has been incredibly talented this year. Our defense has looked pretty good. A little weak at times. I think Joe Burrow is for real, but Baker is the reason that we won this football game. And I don't get to say that very often, because usually he's the reason we lose it.
Yeah. And I was going to mention the first interception on the first drive. Like, of course that happens. And can we bring up that on that play, Odell did tear his ACL. Odell's out. How do you think about that? That's a big blow, but Baker played good. I don't know.
I am one that believes that Baker Mayfield plays better when Jarvis is his primary receiver. I love Odell's amount of talent. I don't think there's anybody that can run routes and catch balls like Odell Beckham Jr. can. He's arguably the most talented wide receiver that I've ever seen. If he was more disciplined, he'd be right up there next to Jerry Rice. Okay, but he doesn't, in my opinion, he doesn't have that kind of level of mental toughness that a Jerry Rice or even a Terrell Owens or a Randy Moss had, right? When they get challenged, they go into their bubble and they go, okay, it's me against the world. Odell gets mad and tries to marry a kicking net.
That was funny.
I love Odell's talent, but I think Jarvis is the sound mind in that wide receiver room that makes guys like Rashad Higgins, Donovan Peoples-Jones, and the other wide receivers that we have better. I actually will be the odd man out here, and I say that the Browns do better without Odell than they have with him, because so his rookie year, Baker Mayfield threw 27 touchdowns, and Jarvis Landry was very much the reason why. Now you have an Austin Hooper who's doubtful this week. But you have that what was that kid?
Bryant
scored 2 touchdowns Harrison this week.
Bryant, I think.
And then you have David Njoku, who Baker
also scored.
He might only score, or he might only catch 1 or 2 passes a game, but he's a favorite in the red zone because he's a big, strong animal. I think that we have enough talent at the wide receiver position, led by Jarvis, who's still a number one in this league, depending on which team he goes on. The only reason he's number two is because we have Odell. Okay. But he was number one in Miami. He'd be number one on almost any team he went to. And he is so much a reason that the Browns play with as much attitude as they do, as much confidence as they do. You play hurt. You do it all. If Odell could step on the field, I'll bet you Jarvis could get him to step on the field. I love Jarvis Landry. I love what the Browns are doing. Yes, it's tougher the rest of the way having Odell out, but I still think that the Browns find a way to win. So we'll end the Browns conversation there. We'll go into our last topic on the NFL before we get into our pick'em segment, which is going to become a weekly thing here. And let's just talk about the best conference in football. Tyler, you're up.
Best conference in football, EJ. We got NFC West by far. All 4 teams are above 500. So you got the Seahawks at 5-1, Cardinals 5-2, Rams 5-2, and the Niners at 4-3. That is an impressive group of teams right there. the Cardinals and the Seahawks just played in a really, really good game on Sunday Night Football. So Seahawks overtime game, I think it was 38-35. It was a wild game. The Seahawks were, they just don't know. Oh, it was 37-34. Seahawks do not know how to win football. Like, every game they play is just weird. And the Cardinals came out on top.
It's because their defense is not that good this year.
I agree. I don't think their defense is as good as it usually is. And Russell Wilson is still playing at the elite level. He had a pretty off game, but Kyler Murray, he's special. Him and Hopkins are very special. So that's a good combo to see.
Well, the Arizona Cardinals are probably the second best team in that division, but the Seattle Seahawks just made a great move this week in trading for Carlos Dunlap from the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, don't be surprised to see them make one or two more moves. One of the names that I've heard floating around there this week has been J.J. Watt has been on the trade block. I don't know that you can make J.J. Watt work in Seattle. I think the most popular pick, and we talked about this last night in the pocket, might be New Orleans. But look for them to make another move. Look for them to acquire somebody else from a team like maybe a Miami or a New York Jets who've had some good defensive linemen in the past or a New York Giant. Look for one of those underperforming teams or, again, even go to the Cincinnati Bengals again, right? You still have a lot of defensive talent out there that can be grabbed, and I think that the Seahawks are maybe – one or two defensive players away from winning a Super Bowl. They have a Super Bowl winning offense. I don't know about that defense, but I like what the Cardinals are doing.
Yeah, defense on the Seahawks is definitely very suspect. I know when Griffin was traded to the Lions, a lot of Seahawks fans were on Twitter and social media were upset that the Seahawks didn't attempt to trade for him. I'm sure they attempted to, but didn't get him. But yeah, I would agree that the Cardinals – it's a tough – Seahawks are number one in that division. I do think the Cardinals are number two. It's just that offense is good. You know, I mean, you have a lot of weapons and Christian – well, obviously Hopkins, but Christian Kirk has really been showing up the last 2 weeks, two touchdowns in the last two games, like two games – or two touchdowns in each game. So that's a – he's showing up, had a slow start to the year. But at running back, Drake is out, but Chase Edmonds has done a great job. The Rams and Niners – Niners could. I do think the Rams are their defense might be good, but they might be last in that division. In my opinion, I think the Niners with that experience, they
do the Niners up. If they can get healthy. Do they find a way to top the Rams this year?
Yes, I do think that.
Do you think they get healthy enough to do that?
I don't know because isn't Bosa's out right the whole year? So that's a big thing. And there's a couple players there.
When Solomon Thomas supposed to come back?
I'm not sure, but if he can come back, that's big.
I mean, Bosa and Solomon Thomas are a big reason that defensive line works.
Exactly. And, I mean, Mostert is out for again, and so is someone just got hurt again running for them.
Everybody's just getting hurt for them.
And if they could be healthy, they're probably atop that division.
Like, Super Bowl, return to the Super Bowl kind of team?
Yeah, fully healthy. They didn't lose a lot, and I don't know, but. It's a lot comes down to health, but the Rams had a really big win against the Bears. So it's just the best division. And EJ, you said that the second best is probably the AFC North, right? I mean,
that's right, baby.
Yeah. Steelers at 6-0, only undefeated team left. And the Ravens 5-1, Browns 5-2, then the Bengals
5-2.
Yes, I said that.
I'm owning that.
Okay.
I know, but I want to own it because that's my team.
Yeah, but then you got the Bengals 1-5-1. That's why they're not the best right there. But
okay.
Yeah, but Steelers 6-0. That's big time. So that's definitely the best division in football. The NFC
West. Outside of the NFC West, AFC North is best outside the AFC.
Yeah, West. Yeah, I would say okay. NFC West is the best. Yep, for sure. All right. So
we're getting in towards that hour mark, which we always try to sit on. So this is a segment we're going to try to continue with every week going forward. Ooh, excuse me, a little burpage there. So we're going to do our pick'ems for the week. And for those that are sports gamblers, which is legal in the state of Michigan, we're going to give you our three favorite picks of the week. Tyler, give me your first pick'em of the week. Who do you got? Who are you gambling on? Where are you putting your money, brother?
All right, yeah, so we're going NFL to start.
And we're going to try to do right now, we're going to do NFL first pick, college second pick, third pick's a wild card. You can do whatever you want. Could be – UEFA soccer, could be rugby, could be prop bets, could be whatever you want. First pick's NFL, second pick college football right now, third pick's a wild card. So starting with the NFL, Tyler, who you got this week?
Yeah, so the Bills minus four against our hot seat, the Patriots. Bills minus four, which means they need to win by five to win the bet. I think the Bills at home are going to – they've been struggling lately, but I do think they're going to win this by more than four. The Patriots have been really not good, and I think the Bills – this is one of the Bills – they're still 5-2. I think this is one of their bounce-back games. You know, they've been – I think they've lost two – oh, they barely beat the Jets last week. I didn't even watch any – that's one of those games where you just think, don't watch. They only beat the Jets 18-10, coming off two losses. So I think the Bills really bounce back here at home against the New England Patriots. And you mentioned this earlier, Gilmore against Diggs, that's going to be a nice matchup to watch. But I think my lock – I know my lock is the Bills minus four against the Patriots. So what do you got for NFL, EJ?
NFL Titans Bengals. Okay. I love this game because I love Derrick Henry and I love Ryan Tannehill. I know that for those that listen to multiple editions of the Game Sports Show, I did bring this statistic up yesterday, but Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry are the only duo in NFL history with 30 passing touchdowns and 2,000 rushing yards in a 16 game span. They score points. I like Mike Vrabel. I like what the Titans are doing, but Joe Burrow just gave my Cleveland Browns a scare to death. So I'm going to take this game. I'm going to join the overs club. I'm going to go over 53.5 Titans and Bengals. That's my pick there. So let's go into our college football pick. I'm going to go first here. I got a weird game that probably not a lot of people are watching. I got a Wake Forest at Syracuse game. Now, Syracuse is 1-4, 1-5, and they're playing a 3-2 Wake Forest team. Okay. I like the way the Syracuse played in that last game. Who'd they play where they had a bunch of rushing yards, right?
Clemson. They just played Clemson. And they played them pretty
close. No, not Clemson. Who'd they play the week before? They lit somebody up. Who'd they light up in their win?
I'm not sure. Syracuse, are we talking about?
Yeah, who they then their one win, they lit somebody up.
Yeah, I don't know.
It doesn't matter who it is. I watched them win a game and they lit somebody up. You know what? I'm going to take Syracuse in this game. Wake Forest is favorable. I'm going to take Syracuse money line plus 310. Why? Because I love me some orange, brother. Orange and brown. Take Syracuse orange money line plus 310. Tyler, college.
For you guys that don't know, that's a big upset for EJ. Big upset.
That's a big bet.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a big upset. Syracuse is the big underdog in that. But
Wake Forest isn't that good.
They aren't. I don't know why they're.
It's only 3-2.
Exactly.
Two and two in the conference.
Yeah, that's not a huge favorite. They shouldn't be favorited by that much, in my opinion. But so for my college football lock, we talked about this game earlier. Penn State against Ohio State. I mentioned this earlier, actually, plus 12.
So you better watch your words,
yeah,
buddy.
Penn State is going to cover that. They're probably going to lose, but it's going to be less than 12 points, in my opinion. I think they're going to keep that close. I think they are at home. This is a bounce back. They just lost to Indiana. So, like, they're going to be, like you said, that's kind of tough on Ohio State. Like, not a great time to catch Penn State. I think Penn State's still a really good football team. Plus 12 for sure. They're gonna cover that, in my opinion. So, what's your wild card here? Your lock.
What's your wild card? You go first. Don't tell me what to do here.
All right.
I'm the host.
True. I'll start. Co-host Tyler here.
I'm in charge. I'll take my ball and I'll go home.
So we got my lock is BYU and Western Kentucky football over 52 points. So I'm betting that they're going to score 53 combined points. BYU might. They might do this by themselves. BYU is a good – I don't know why this is so low, honestly. I mean, BYU is ranked 11th. They just scored 50 points in their last game. They got a quarterback, Zach Young, who's probably going to be a first-round pick next year. He's slinging the ball. BYU is a good team. They're independent, so they don't play great competition all the time. But Western Kentucky's not great, and I think they can put up enough points to where over 52, that's not a lot. That's not a ton of points for them to hit, so – that's my lock, EJ. Over 52 on BYU Western Kentucky, if anyone's going to watch that game.
I don't know that I call this next one a lock. Because my third pick'em this week is Hawaii at Wyoming. And I love this pick because these are two teams that traditionally, like, Hawaii's always got a pretty good offense. Wyoming had guys like Josh Allen. They've always run a really good offense. However, Hawaii is coming to Wyoming. I'm sure they've been in the continental states for a couple of days now. But I think the jet lag plays a factor here. And I'm going to take under 60 points bet on this game. And Hawaii at Wyoming, I just don't think that with the jet lag, Hawaii is going to be able to put as many points on the board. But I do think it'll be a competitive game. I like both these schools. I love me some Rainbow Warriors. I think they have some of the best third and fourth alternate jerseys in the league.
They do.
Hawaii at Wyoming. I know I love being a part of the overs club, but give me the under here. I think they go under 60.
That's not a bad bet.
So that's going to do it for this week's edition of the Hot Seat, brought to you by the Game Sports Show, powered by the Game Entertainment Media. Check us out at thegamesportsshow.com. We are live here from Moe's Pub in Escanaba, best pub in Escanaba, best place to catch game in Escanaba, 24 TVs, 15 beers on tap, best pub to catch game in Escanaba, best place to go in all of Escanaba, I'll say that. So we're going to wrap up this. Check us out at Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Podtail, all those social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, The Game Sports Show, thegamesportsshow.com. Check out all of our editions of The Game Sports Show at thegamesportsshow.podbean.com, where you can catch Butch on Sports. You can catch ESPN 1400 edition out of this Sault Ste. Marie. You can catch all the special editions of In the Pocket, Hockey, Baseball, all of the other platforms that we're opening up to. You can catch The Hot Seat, a fist bump. You can catch The Hot Seat at thegamesportsshow.podbean.com and everything else. Just get all of your social media from us. We're experts. We know what we're doing, even when we don't know what we're doing. Tyler, thank you so much for joining me this week. What do you have coming up?
This weekend, let's see. Watching Michigan State for sure, and hopefully the Lions get dug. It's building this momentum, maybe a three-game winning streak coming up. The schedule gets very easy after this week.
Maybe.
I think it's going to happen. I do. Watching football, working a little. So, yeah. What about you, EJ?
I don't have too much going on. You can always check me out on our Monday night edition of the game on ESPN 1400. You can always catch me on the In the Pocket segments on Wednesday night at thegamesportsshow.com. Again, this show is powered by the Game Entertainment Media. This is The Hot Seat. I am EJ Russell. He is Tyler Ouellette.
Yes, sir.
He is also Escanaba Excellence and Notorious NORSE. That's my dog. Tyler, final shot for the evening. And I know we started off a little sappy. We're going to end a little sappy. This is to your family. Sorry to hear about your grandmother. We always open with a shot. We always end with a shot. And burns so good, even though it's never good. Again, I am EJ Russell. He is Tyler Ouellette.
Yes. mute button.
You want to try this again? I am EJ Russell. He is Tyler Ouellette.
Yes, sir.
And we will catch you next week live from Moe's Pub at Escanaba. This is The Hot Seat, powered by the Game Entertainment Media. Check us out at thegamesportsshow.com. All of our social media platforms, best streaming experience at thegamesportsshow.podbean.com. See ya!